The deep divisions between rich and poor countries that plagued the conference from its beginning proved too great to overcome in the end. The leaders of a break-off group of some 30-odd countries, including the United States and China, agreed a final accord, but without the consent of the rest of the conference. President Obama, leaving the talks late on Friday, hailed the document a success, even if it didn't meet expectations.
I believe what we have achieved in Copenhagen will not be the end, but rather the beginning. The beginning of a new era of international action.
But the accord contained some glaring omissions. There were no references to targets to cut greenhouse gases, making a promise to keep global warming within 2 degrees Celsius ring hollow. Although the parties promised to revisit the issue of medium-term targets within the next 12 months, NGOs slammed the failure to name figures. Kumi Naidu from Greenpeace.
This is a betrayal of the poor, the betrayal of vulnerable countries, a betrayal of small island states, and it's a betrayal of the future of all children and our grandchildren on this planet.
Scientists say global emissions need to be cut in half by the middle of the century and that the bulk of the action needs to happen sooner rather than later. This implies cuts of between 25 and 40% by the year 2020 for industrialised countries. The European Union has the strongest pledge to date and was willing to commit to up to 30% if others joined them. But German Chancellor Angela Merkel said she felt compelled to give her nod to the document all the same.
Die Verhandlungen waren extrem schwierig.
The negotiations were extremely difficult, and I want to stress that I have very mixed feelings about the final result. We had a choice of breaking off the whole process or saving what was still possible and building on it. The decision was difficult for me to make, but I'm convinced that had we broken off the process, we would have lost years. That's why we say yes. We accept even this result to keep the process moving.
So einverstanden, dass wir den Prozess fortsetzen wollen.
Britain's Prime Minister Gordon Brown defended the result. He pointed to the success of getting the United States to come around to a major developing country concern, that is, long-term climate funding in the order of hundreds of billions of dollars.
Everybody said to me before we came, the Americans will never accept a financial agreement that involves $100 billion. People said other rich countries would not accept something that by 2020 involved public and private finance at that level, and we've done that. Now I think people's focus ought to be on this issue that I'm presenting now.
But developing countries were outraged, not least because they felt excluded from the consultations from the start of the conference, accusing industrialised countries of seeking to overturn the Kyoto Protocol process and replace it with a treaty handed down from above. Sudan's Lumumba Diaping speaks for over 50 African countries.
What has happened today confirms what we have been suspicious of, that a deal will be superimposed by United States with the help of the Danish government on all nations of the world.
But the United States also leaves the negotiations without getting one of the major concessions. Obama spent hours in one-on-one talks with Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao trying to secure. The Chinese refused to give ground on the issue of third-party verification of their climate action claims. Small island states stand the most to lose from the result. They had pushed for an agreement that would attempt to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius because 2 degrees will see them likely submerged as sea levels rise. Chief negotiator for Tuvalu, Ian Fry, felt he had but one option when it came to a final vote early on Saturday, leading a string of developing countries with his example.
Mr. President, I regret to inform you that Tuvalu cannot accept this document. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nathan McCopp, Deutsche Welle Radio, Copenhagen.